The events of September 11th and turbulence in the Persian Gulf and Middle East have raised old fears about disruptions in the oil supply. While Congress and the president have expressed concern about the nation's precarious dependence on foreign oil, little has been done to address the situation. Foreign oil imports could be cut in half through conservation and fuel efficiency, but a culture centered on the car, cheap gas, and an absence of political leadership all stand in the way. NPR's Elizabeth Arnold reports.
25 years ago, in the midst of the Arab oil embargo, gas lines shocked Americans into taking a hard look at energy consumption. President Carter put on a sweater, turned down the thermostat at the White House, and asked the country to conserve.
Our decision about energy will test the character of the American people and the ability of the president and the Congress to govern this nation. This difficult effort will be the moral equivalent of war.
America responded briefly. For about a decade, people bought smaller, more fuel-efficient cars and appliances. But as the memory of gas lines faded and the price of gas dropped, the country again led the world in consumption. Currently, the United States accounts for about 25% of global oil consumption, although it has only 3% of the world's proven oil reserves. In short, we use a lot, and most of it comes from someplace else. Philip Verliger is an economic consultant who specializes in energy. Verliger says the way to energy independence begins with the car.
Automobiles are by far the biggest single consumer. The United States motorists today consume 1/7 of the oil produced in the world on our highways, our roads, and our streets. So one barrel out of every 7 produced any place in the world winds up going into an automobile or a truck.
Verliger and other analysts estimate oil imports could be cut in half through aggressive conservation. But that's asking a lot of Americans who are accustomed to big cars and cheap gas. Even though dependence on foreign oil was a factor in the most recent war, the general public fails to make the connection between geopolitics and consumption. Patriotism is expressed with flags on the antennas of huge SUVs that get as little as 12 miles a gallon. David Nemso is president of the Alliance to Save Energy.
Americans do love their cars, which is why the right way to improve fuel economy is not to ask people to give up their cars or give up their SUVs. That's not necessary and it won't work anyway. It's to use technology to make those same cars and trucks and SUVs more fuel efficient.
And according to the National Academy of Sciences, the technology already exists to boost the average fuel economy of automobiles to as much as 40 miles per gallon. That would save about 2.5 million barrels a day by 2020. Coincidentally, the same amount the United States imports every day from the Persian Gulf. The current average is 24 miles per gallon, the lowest since 1980. And not surprisingly, fuel-efficient technology wasn't the highlight at this year's car shows.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, one can of this car wax, it's a polished wax and one, it's a concentrate. Each coating lasts 6 months.
Just after Christmas at the Hot Wheels Auto Show in Washington, D.C., the new cars dwarfed the sales reps, and it was all about size and power.
So you got a Cadillac with a stick and rear-wheel drive. V6 engine, 3.2 liter, 220 horsepower, V6, 218 foot-pounds of torque, goes 0 to 60 in just under 7 seconds.
Miles per gallon was hardly the statistic buyers were clamoring for. Jim Treboiser was checking out the new Lincoln Continental while his half dozen kids clamored in and out of the floor models.
What I'm doing is I'm going through all the cars, and if I can't get the headroom or the shoulder room or the seat room when I sit down, I get right out. I mean, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't fit, I'm not buying it. I'm not too concerned about gas mileage. My main concern right now is being able to fit everybody together and baby stuff.
There is some desire for fuel-efficient cars. In California, for example, there are waiting lists for gas-electric hybrids, like the Honda Insight at 64 miles per gallon. But that also has to do with novelty and limited production. The majority of Americans are buying bigger, less fuel-efficient cars, more interested in looks and luxury than gas mileage. Bob Applegate is here with his son, checking out the new BMW Roadster.
It has classic proportions. Harkens back to older cars. I suppose people that are in their 60s and 70s now lusted after those cars in their youth, and now they can afford them.
Applegate says fuel efficiency is simply not a concern.
Gas is cheaper than bottled water, you know. It's cheaper than food now. You might feel that a dollar and a half a gallon is a lot of money, but it's nothing. No one really cares about fuel economy. Everyone here will say, I don't want a car that isn't fuel efficient, but, you know, if I could have that and I got 18 miles per gallon, I'd take it. And if it got 12 miles per gallon, I'd probably take it.
And if the public isn't looking for fuel-efficient cars, Congress isn't about to take up the cause. Politicians have always been wary of telling Detroit what to do, even when prices reached $2 a gallon. In the early 1990s, when the nation was at war in the Persian Gulf, the Senate took up a national energy strategy to reduce dependency. But members ridiculed attempts to increase corporate average fuel economy, or CAFE, standards. Montana Republican Conrad Burns.
I don't know what other leadership of this Congress wants to be driven around in a Geo or not. I don't think so. I don't think I see one Geo parked out there at the steps of the Senate.
Even then committee chairman Bennett Johnston, Democrat of Louisiana, who championed the need for a comprehensive approach to reduce dependence on foreign oil, threw his hands in the air.
You know, I went to lunch with a couple the other day, and the guy's wife was telling me this very thing. We need to get stronger CAFE standards. And I had ridden out with them in their Lincoln Town car, literally.
The effort to reduce dependency was abandoned. 10 years later, this past December, with troops in Afghanistan and a renewed focus on a volatile oil supply, the Senate looked again at the notion of increasing fuel efficiency standards, or at least closing the loophole that exempts trucks and SUVs. Again, Congress chose not to act. Politicians say they're up against the clout of the big three automakers, and Detroit says it's at the mercy of consumers who want cars that climb mountains and ford streams. David Nemtsov of the Alliance to Save Energy says attitudes and behavior will only change with a transformational event, like the oil embargo of the 70s. He's pessimistic the terrorist attacks and resulting war will spark a similar change.
And that goes across party lines. Will the conservationists say, well, our oil dependence is so dangerous, we need to look for oil on public lands in a way that we didn't before? And similarly, will the opponents of fuel economy standards and the president of the United States say, will the events of September 11th mean we really have to deal with our cars and trucks and our long-term addiction to gasoline?
There's been little to suggest that change is imminent. Philip Verliger, the oil analyst, blames an absence of leadership. He says President Bush missed an opportunity to call on Americans to sacrifice. Had he asked people to conserve, Verliger says, instead of flying flags on their cars, there would be bumper stickers that said, I've saved 20 gallons, how about you?
This is not a small issue, not something that can be lightly done. The country has to decide that it wants to wean itself from Middle Eastern oil. The voters have to decide that it's worth changing something in their lifestyle. And the only way that's going to happen is if the Congress and the president decide that it merits spending political capital to go there.
Thus far, that hasn't happened. The president and vice president offered up an energy strategy that suggested America can drill its way to independence, and Congress is still debating. This year's hot seller, the Ford Expedition, just got bigger. Elizabeth Arnold, NPR News, Seattle.